All right, so I got a really good idea how hour number two is going to lay out, and then hour number three. I mean, I got a good idea every single day how these things lay out, but then a lot of times you follow it, it's fluid, you react, you see. So it looks like this. I will remind you that the jungle is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, and that Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience, but by now you probably know that. I will remind you that Joe Gibbs is coming up in about 20 minutes. Hall of Famer, owner of Joe Gibbs Racing. An amazing, amazing person. Joe Gibbs coming up then. After that is where I'm going to put the beef segment. So make a note of this. The beef segment is once a week. You have only one shot. One shot, kid. One shot every single week to get in here and beef. Now, the good news is you can beef about whatever the hell you want.
That's one
baseball,
shot. That's
football, one shot. Basketball, hockey, shot. MMA, golf, lacrosse, horse racing, tiddlywinks, whatever the hell you want. Sports related, not sports related, life, family, friends, anything. Not politics. Don't do that. We don't need that. The beef segment's coming up at 40 past. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Also, you can beef on social media. In fact, I'd encourage it. Follow me at Jim Rome on Twitter. You can email me your beef, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So that's coming up at 40 past. Top of hour number three is where I want to talk about the year of the bra. We don't talk politics except kind of as it relates to the city council race in Huntington Beach. Because one of our own is running. And not only is he running for one of the three available spots, but he's running against an MMA legend in Tito Ortiz. How am I not talking about that? And then you might say, yeah, Rome, you've already talked about that. Well, first of all, none of you are saying that because you can't get enough of it. But even if you were to argue, you've already talked about that, Rome. Why are you talking about that? Because it's nut cutting time. Getting right down to it. And there was some local media. And a local media report, if there are 15 candidates running for the three available spots, it would stand to reason that Tito Ortiz would be one of the featured candidates. He's Tito Ortiz, repping Huntington Beach. Never before been in political office. But what were the chances that the former Smackoff champ, Silk Bra, would be the other person featured in that news report? And he was. So I'll have that for you in hour three. Look for that there. And in the meantime, for the right telephone call, I'll put you up. Now, as I mentioned, the NFL through 3 weeks, everything was golden. Like, could not have gone any better. The quality of play on the field was great. There were not positive tests. It looked like it was going to be a great thing. And then the NFL did receive a couple of pieces of bad COVID news today. Let me start with Tennessee. The Titans had gone 2 days without a positive test. Now, a third day without positive tests would have meant that they could reopen their facilities today and get ready to play the Bills on Sunday. However, this morning, Tom Pelissero reported two more players tested positive for the Titans. Again, saying something sucks is not a take, but man, that sucks. Because what that means is the facility is not going to reopen. And then the status of Sunday's game against the Bills is very much in doubt. It also means that the Titans have had 20 positive tests and counting in their outbreak. And that's an outbreak that already forced the postponement of Titans Steelers. So at this point, I'm not really clear how you could play a game against the Bills on Sunday. It's Wednesday. The facility has been closed for a while now. There are 20 positive tests among the players and the staff. Even if they could prepare with mental reps, how are they going to have enough guys to field a team? Or do guys have to go old school and just play both ways? So like I said, that's the first bit of bad news. There is a second bit of bad news. If you've been listening to the update, you already know this. The Patriots have two more positive tests. We already knew about Cam Newton. The first of the two positives, additional positives, is from a practice squad player by the name of Bill Murray. I know. Save your Ghostbusters and your Groundhog Day jokes. I'm sure that this Bill Murray has heard them all before. Ghostbusters! And I'm sure this Bill Murray would say, yeah, and they're not funny. They weren't funny the first time. They definitely will not be funny right now, and especially now that my name is Bill Murray and I have COVID. The fact is, the belief is that Murray had not had much contact with Cam Newton and that he did not travel to Kansas City for Monday's game. And then came the second positive test. Cornerback and defensive player of the year, Stephon Gilmore, tested positive as well. He's now the third member of the Patriots to test positive. So they canceled practice today. Now, if you'll recall, after Cam Newton tested positive, the team decided to fly to Kansas City on Monday, the day of the game, but they decided to do so with two planes, remember? One was going to be for people who had close contact with Cam. One would be for everybody else. Come to find out, Gilmore was on the COVID air flight. Listen, I don't want a Monday morning quarterback this thing. And I know the league and both teams were trying to get that game played and get it in on a Monday so everybody's schedules were not jacked up going forward. But if the solution to a problem involves putting a bunch of potentially infected people on the same plane, maybe that's not the best solution. In fact, maybe that should not have been a solution at all. I'm not going to say that taking a plane full of possible COVID carriers to Kansas City was the worst idea ever, but I would say that it sounds like the premise of a Nick Cage film, except instead of having John Malkovich play Cyrus the Virus, this time the virus is being played by an actual virus.
AKA Cyrus the Virus, 39 years
old. I'm not going to say that it was completely and utterly reckless, but there sure as hell was some risk involved, right? As Charles Robinson and I talked about on Monday, would you have wanted to be on the COVID Express? Was COVID Air the flight that you would have chosen to take to Kansas City? And what if you were working for the airline and you had to work that flight? Would you have been happy about that? The original idea behind that flight was that everybody who was on it had been in close contact with Cam Newton. Now, everybody who was on that flight has also been in close contact with Stephon Gilmore. So now you've been in contact with Cam Newton and Gilmore. Yeah, that's not good. Because if you'll recall, the Titans had a confirmed case. They flew to Minnesota to play, and they flew back, and now they've got a full-blown outbreak.
Not good.
And if you want something really scary, just take a look at the photos and the video of Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes chatting on the field after that game. And then imagine all of the exhaling that Gilmore was doing and all of the inhaling that Mahomes was doing. Tom Pelissero tweeted, quote, "The Chiefs, who played Stephon Gilmore and the Patriots on Monday night, returned no positive tests from Tuesday's round of testing, I'm told. They're allowed to practice today under the supplemental intensive protocols, including mandatory use of PPE by player in practice," end quote. All right, so that's good, right? That's good. It's good, except it does not mean that Kansas City and the Patriots are out of the woods yet. Not even close, because the incubation period can last a number of days. Mike Girardi of the NFL Network tweeted, quote, "Text from a Patriots player, quote, here we go again. Concerned, quote, look, we're better cared for than most, but adds, quote, it brings this bleep home. That's scary," end quote. Of course, completely, because it's not just about playing games. It's about keeping players safe. It's about keeping everybody they come into contact with safe as well. Like, obviously, what they attempted to do was gamble. Even a calculated gamble, but it didn't work out. They put those guys on that plane, and it didn't work out. Now they have to hope that they're not the Titans, right? That's three now. Now they have to hope that they don't have a full-on outbreak like the Titans, who are up to 20. And not that anybody in the league should need another reminder, but apparently John Gruden does. Man, wear your mask. wear your mask. Or to quote Baker Mayfield, talking about masks in general, quote, to me, it's not that damn hard. Just wear your mask. We all want to play football. End quote. That's why he's America's quarterback. He's right. And that's America's take. Wear your damn mask. We just want to play football. They want to play football. We want to gamble. We want to watch football. Talk about football. Wear your damn mask. So that's the latest involving the Patriots. And now we wait and see. And again, I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but seeing that video of Gilmore and Patrick Mahomes after that game, I know they've had nothing but negative tests so far for the Chiefs. That's good, but it does mean they're out of the woods. That would scare me if I were Mahomes and the Chiefs. And this is what happens. And then again, the Titans and the Bills. The Bills are 4-0. They're playing great football. Believe me, they don't want to stop. They want to keep rolling. Kind of hard to imagine how they're going to play that game, right? Since the Titans had more positive tests and they cannot get into their facility. They would have, but they can't. At Wooden Laconic tweets, my top five list of greatest guitarists: Eddie Van Halen, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, James Dolan. That is all.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain, with the rain in Shambhala.
Hawk, you are literally the biggest hypocrite this show has ever seen. Let me explain that statement. Hawk just said to me, you know what we should do? We should block this guy for life for putting Dolan's name alongside the others. Except you're the one who brought it to me, and nobody likes that Dolan reset more than you, Hawk. You are the biggest hypocrite ever. You are a hypocrite, Bird. You are a hypocrite and a felon. Come on down, hypocrite police. Hawk is here.
You're a liar. You are a felon.
Come on, Adam. We should block that guy for life. I'd have changed the locks on these doors and keep you out of this building for life, Hawk. What a terrible take that is by you, Bird.
What's his middle name?
Jimmy Page should be on that list. Anybody else? Hit me up on Twitter or save it for a beef. 1-800-636-8686. Man, I'm holding my breath. Fingers crossed, whatever trite cliche you want to use. Because now that makes three for the Patriots. 20 for the Titans, 3 for the Patriots. And COVID Express. Man, they rolled the dice. I don't want to say they crapped out, but they rolled the dice. And that did not work out. Now we wait. Now we see. Lakers. Come on, Laker fan. Go ahead. Celebrate it. Championship number 17. The Heat aren't going to roll over and die, but they're not going to bounce back. Got Joe Gibbs coming up next segment. I've got the ATP coming up later on. I've got Hunter Pence coming up later on. I've got the Silk v. Tito segment coming up later on. Hey, one more thing. Because I've got the podcast today, let me give you a phone number. I haven't done this in about a week or so. Here is a phone number if you want to be a part of our weekly podcast, The Original Side Hustle. It's a good way for you to get reps. It's a good way for you to kind of go, like, if you want to be a little spicy with it, if you want to put yourself out there, we will allow this, that on that show or on that podcast, but not on this show. Write this number down, 949-385-0447. 949-385-0447. That's the voicemail number. You call me up, you go long form rant, you can get kind of spicy with it. And if it's good enough or if it's horrible enough, it will make it on our podcast. 949-385-0447. When we come back, the owner of Joe Gibbs Racing joins us. Joe Gibbs. We'll talk football. We'll talk NASCAR. Talk a little life. Joe Gibbs joins me when we return.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Wow. Welcome back once again. A tremendous Wednesday to you in Southern California. I am Jim Rome. As promised, we are joined right now by a three-time Super Bowl champion. He is a two-time AP Coach of the Year. He is a member of the 100th anniversary all-time team, a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, a five-time NASCAR Cup Series champion, a four-time Daytona 500 champion, a member of the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and today he does appear courtesy of M&M's and Tree Town. Of course, I'm speaking of Joe Gibbs. Joe, it is so good to have you back on the program. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Thank you. I appreciate that introduction. I didn't know I did all that stuff.
My man. Joe, you've had a great, great run, and I know you've got some amazing years still in front of you. In fact, let me ask you about Denny Hamlin. He won on Sunday at Talladega after three overtimes in a wild race. I'm curious, what kind of thoughts and emotions were you having in the final moments of that race, Joe?
Well, I got to tell you, you're right. It was three times we kind of, at the end of that race, we have to have a restart, and when you do that in our sport, there's no telling what's going to happen, and a lot did happen. But to have Denny win that race, it's Denny's all-time year for him. And of course, what is huge for us, FedEx is his sponsor and has been the entire time Denny's raced for us, and for him to win seven times this year is a huge deal. When you're at Talladega like that and our racing, there is a lot happening. There was in that race. And so I think a lot of the fans thought it was great. And certainly for me, to have Denny win was a huge deal for us and FedEx.
We're talking to Joe Gibbs. And then overall, Joe, his spot is now in the round of eight. That's guaranteed. And at the moment, Martin Truex Jr. is sixth in the standings. Kyle Busch is ninth overall. So how are you feeling about where things stand at this point in the playoffs?
Well, I still think Martin, he had a great Roval. That's the next race we go to here in Charlotte. We're worried, obviously, with Kyle. It's a huge deal for us. Kyle won the championship last year, and it's one of those things with all the changes that's happened in our sport because of COVID. When we go to the racetrack, we don't practice right now. All of those things, I think, have really been something that's been hard for us to overcome, particularly with Kyle. And so this will be interesting to see if we can fight through this and get to the next round with him. But right now we're going to have a great race at the Roval.
We're talking to Joe Gibbs. He's a member of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He's appearing courtesy of M&M's in Tree Town. And Joe, I know you had a chuckle at the top when I read down your resume, but the fact of the matter is, I know you're not going to make it about you, but almost nobody else has a resume quite like this, including being in the Hall of Fame in two different sports. Again, I know you're not doing it for personal accolades, but what do those two honors mean to you?
Yeah, you know what happens, Jim? For me, we had a reunion here 4 years ago where all of our Super Bowl guys, we had 90 of them come back, and we had a three-day celebration, told stories and everything. For me, it's about that and the relationships and all the experiences you had, the memories, the tough things you go through in football. Football is physical, and you're challenged. You're challenged every single weekend. It's the best people in the world playing football, and it puts you through all those things. And when you come out the other side of that, you develop some of the greatest relationships. And so that's what I kind of miss about football. You know, it's those late-night meetings with the coaches, and you fight through all the things, and you're trying to come up with the best game plan you can. And I think it's extremely hard. The NFL is hard. But it also, I think, is one of the greatest jobs in the world and has some of the greatest thrills in the world. So that I kind of look back at that. For me, it's mostly relationships.
Yeah, I really appreciate that response, Joe. And in a similar vein, you know, last year in a conversation with The Athletic, you were talking about evaluating talent back in the day with Washington, and you said the most important thing was character. And then the second most important thing or attribute was intelligence, then mental toughness, and then finally talent. I'm curious, Joe, why is character so important to you, and why was talent the least important of those attributes?
Well, I think you start off with character. And I think back to those football teams, and, you know, the thing that was amazing about that, Jim, is when we went back and looked at our Super Bowl teams, one half of those teams were free agents. And what that meant was this: they were either not drafted or had been cut by somebody. And yet when they come on our team, character takes over. When you have character guys, it's not about the money. It's they want to be the best football player for your team they can be, the best Washington football. And I looked in the eyes of those guys when I would talk to them, and many times it was emotional before those games. They weren't the guys that kind of lead you to Super Bowls and everything. It is about the kind of person they are and what they bring to the team. And many times people ask me, hey, tell me, who's the greatest player you coached? I can't do that because some of the greatest players, I start out with Otis Wansley and Pete Cronin and people like that. They go, who are they? They were great special teams players for us. They were the heart and soul of your football team. And that's the thing about football, the challenge that you have in football. It's a physical challenge. You're going to be mentally challenged, and it goes to the coaches in late night and coming up, and are you willing to stay there and come up with the best game plan, and can you make those critical decisions? And it's like being in the eye of the hurricane on that sideline. So people, many times I always laugh. They second-guess sometimes about some of the calls you made. Think about this. You're on the sideline. The field is crowned. You're looking out there. It's hard to see. You got guys around you that are yelling four-letter words and screaming at people, and you got to make a decision there. You're trying to.
Wow.
And so sometimes I laugh about that but it is one of the greatest thrills in life.
I can't lie to you, Joe. I'm having a great time talking to you and getting caught up. Joe Gibbs joining us. So quickly, let me ask you about racing once again. Joe, if we were to bounce back to 1991, when you started Joe Gibbs Racing, what were the early days like when you had only a few employees and a single sponsor?
I got to tell you, I showed up on Norm Miller Interstate Batteries doorstep with nothing but a dream on a sheet of paper. And they said, let's do this. We started that first year with 17 people, rented a small facility over here, and we raced one car. And I thought that's the way it would always be. We had 17 total people. And you know the amazing thing? Seven of those people are still with us. They've been here almost 30 years now. They kind of built this thing. It was my son, J.D., Todd Meredith. It was Dave Alpern. It was people like that that came on board that spent their entire career with us building the race team. And again, it's just what we talked about with football. It's the people. And the people make the difference in team sports. And this sport is so much like football, you can't believe it. In football, you got to have a great quarterback. You're not going anywhere. Over here, you got to have a great driver. Same thing. In football, you got to have the coach. Hopefully, somebody makes good decisions. Over here, it's the crew chiefs. It's really the two sports are very similar. And so, everything I've been in, get the right people around you. They're going to make you look good.
We're talking to Joe Gibbs for a few more moments. Joe, I want to ask you about something that Tony Dungy said recently. He talked about how you actually changed the sport of football, and I want to read you this quote. He said, quote, people don't realize that Joe Gibbs changed the face of the NFL by having the courage to say in a southern town at that time that Doug Williams is the guy we should take. When they drafted Doug, it shocked the whole country to take this unknown from Grambling over those star players from Pitt and Stanford. End of quote. It's quite a statement. So what's your reaction when you hear another legend say that you changed the face of the game, Joe?
Well, I think one thing's for sure. I went in and told Coach, after going over and spending time, Coach McKay asked me to go and really evaluate Doug. And what I really did there, Jim, I went over and sat in classes that he was student teaching. We spent days together going to get a McDonald's. We would get on the board and talk football. And when I came back, Coach McKay deserves a credit because he stepped up and said, we're taking this guy. And obviously, I think Doug is one of the great sports stories in America. And I'm thrilled to know, I think they're doing a movie now. I said the whole time to Doug, they need to do a movie on your life. I think they're doing that. But here's a guy that came from Grambling, went to Tampa, went through all the things they did there in Tampa, goes into the USFL, and when we got him back, we got him back to be a backup, and then he winds up obviously working his way, and we wound up starting him in the 87th Super Bowl. It's one of the greatest stories because in that second quarter, we scored 35 points. He's the MVP. Yeah, and here's the amazing thing, Jim. As we worked towards that season, all I thought about was Doug was our quarterback. I didn't think about him being the black quarterback. You know, he was our quarterback. And when we got to the Super Bowl that week, that's what everybody started talking about, the fact that, you know, Doug was going to have this opportunity. We didn't look at it that way. I just looked at it as he's our quarterback. He's the guy that we want leading us. And I think it's one of the great sports stories. I'm thrilled with what Doug was able to do for us there with the Redskins. But it was a breakthrough for him. And the fact today, I think, in that same Dungy article there, I appreciate Tony saying that about me, but I only played a role in that. But today I think we have 10 of the starters in the NFL right now are black quarterbacks, which is Doug was the kind of the breakthrough for that, which I thought was a thrill to be a part of it.
No doubt. Joe Gibbs joining us. All right, Joe, so you're working with Mars Wrigley, M&M's, and Tree Town. Can you break it down for us? What is it all about, and how can people get involved, Joe?
Yeah, we're not going to cancel Halloween. COVID's caused us to cancel everything. We're not canceling Halloween.
Gotcha.
So here's the deal. All my grandkids have devices. Every young person's walking around with their device. So here's the deal. Just go to Tree Town app, and you'll be able to sign up there. They're going to take you through the deal. And basically, digitally, you can go door to door with your device, and you're going to be able to get some free treats in the end. So go to Tree Town app, and that's Mars and Wrigley making that possible. So thank you for letting me mention that too, Jim.
Joe, thank you so much for availing yourself to the program. I appreciate that very much. You nailed that pitch, and I want to make clear that Joe Gibbs is appearing courtesy of M&M's and Tree Town. Every grandkid, every child, everybody has a device. Find that app. Take advantage of that. He's a member of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. He is a 5-time NASCAR Cup Series champion. Joe, so great to get caught up with you, and I really do appreciate the time, Joe. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you, Jim. It was great catching up with you again. It's been a while.
It has been a while, Joe. Let's do it again soon. Joe Gibbs, the Hall of Famer, multi-Hall of Famer, joining us once again on the program. And that was another great conversation with the coach. 3-time Super Bowl champ and a 2-time AP Coach of the Year as well. All right. When we come back, I'm going to open it up to you. Something to keep in mind. It is a What's Your Beef Day. We will have that for you a little bit later on. Get your thoughts together on a beef. There's got to be something you're beefing about. Hit me up on the phones with your beef. Hit me up on Twitter with your beef at Jim Rome. Just make sure you get me your beef.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
How good is Joe Gibbs? How amazing was Joe Gibbs? I think it's so amazing that a lot of you don't really know or appreciate or understand just how great he was. I mean, as high as everybody is on the hood and should be, the hood did not win multiple Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks the way Joe Gibbs did. The hood did not just break free or shake loose of a Hall of Fame career and then start another career much later in life and become a Hall of Famer in that sport too. Joe Gibbs, it really is something else. So my thanks to him. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hope you're about to enjoy this as much as I am. I always enjoy this segment. We do it once a week. It's the What's Your Beef segment. Listen up. Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better. It's better. It's better for you. It's higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. Make sure you ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
Is this the beef jerky segment?
Officially, it is now. Normally, we're looking to keep things positive, upbeat, optimistic. I don't need you coming in here and whining and crying and beefing about everything except once a week. And then it's fun. Then it's allowed. I've got a phone line open right now, the beef line. Use it. What's your beef? It can be about anything at all. 1-800-636-8686. Let me start off with some social media beef. PJ in the Mile High tweets, "It's been said before, but it cannot be said enough. I have eternal beef with any bag who hangs synthetic testicles on the back of his truck. There is no more effective way to let the world know that you have no real testicles than to dangle those on your truck. You like that, Hawk? You like that? You must. He's applauding on the other side of the glass. The synthetic testes don't bother me as much, but that is your beef. The synthetic sack has never really troubled me that much. In fact, I've never given it a second thought. Dear Jim, my beef is with Chris Berman. Dude's job is cake. And yet here's the Swami on Monday night referring to the Bills QB as Jared Allen.
On,
dude literally works for 3 minutes per week. Even Ackerman puts in about 20. Boomer. Either pre-record it, pull it together, or just retire again, you sloppy oaf. Brett in Bugaha. Again, I'm not here to crack on other broadcasters. This guy nails this beef. This guy speaks for literally every parent I know with kids this age right now, honestly. Rome, I have a beef with my 17-year-old daughter who thinks that virtual school means sleeping all day and walking around the house like a damn vampire all night, eating up all our food, not doing her chores, and no longer taking showers. Unwore having to wear my mask while in my own home. John from Laguna. My man, Jono. That guy speaks for every single parent I know with teenage kids. Literally every last one. He nailed that. That's exactly what those kids are doing. I'm not saying it's all their fault, but I'm saying that's all true. They are walking around like vampires, eating all our food, not showering. They show up for their Zoom calls 5 minutes before. They don't care how they look. They haven't combed their hair. They haven't brushed their hair. They haven't changed. They're still in their pajamas. Man, they're in their school uniform, all right. Their sweats. That guy nailed it. I could walk off on that beef, but I won't. Johnny in Texas. I got beef with Dodger honks who keep calling my Astros cheaters, bros. What we did last year has nothing to do with this year. Get off me. We're winning the damn thing. Unwore Matt in L.A., having the ugliest dome in Cali. Yeah, that's not going to change, Johnny. Especially since y'all keep winning. And now you're a game away from the ALCS. Expect more of the same. Hey, Van Smack, my beef is with that one friend that we all have who is a mooch. We have all been supporting him for over 25 years, and to be honest, I don't know why we continue to do it. Dustin in NorCal. Rome, my beef is with my local HOA, hall monitor, with some grandma on a power trip, driving the neighborhood, taking notes, sending out stupid notes because my bushes aren't trimmed properly. Chris, no longer in St. Pete, wore blowing cron smoke in that old kook's face to help her cataracts. Jimmy, my beef is with the four blue hairs at the table next to me this morning at Denny's, loudly and graphically discussing their Lansing boils, stomach disorders, oral infections, and irritable bowel syndrome. While I was trying to choke down four pieces of bacon and a pile of grease-caked hash browns. Thanks for the info, grandmas. Now I'm on my way to Walgreens to grab a Pepto cocktail to try to repair the physical damage done to my gut. But the emotional scarring will be permanent. Tommy, formerly the 714. Tom, like, what are they supposed to talk about, man? That's what they do. That's how old they are. That's what they're dealing with. Bro, what are you going to talk about when you're that age? Like, think about you and your crew. And then, I don't know how old you are, Tom, but think about you and your crew when you get to be their age. That's what you deal with. That's what you talk about. That'll be you, bro. That'll be you. Bro, when you're that age, you're not talking about Billie Eilish and Drake. Trust me. You'll be talking about irritable bowel syndrome. Flaring. Hemorrhoids. Shingles. Arthritis, IBS, chronic diarrhea, your dentures, you losing your dentures, your dentures falling out, your dentures not fitting, your adult diaper needing to be changed. Come on, Tommy. Hey, Rome. I have a beef. I've got a beef against my father-in-law talking crap about his daughter, the one I'm married to. Hey, Daddy-O, don't be talking your kid down, even if she isn't what your small mind thought that a child should turn out to be. And especially don't do it in front of me. He thinks I'm disrespectful because I tell him to eat crap and die when he tells me his opinion of his wife's life or of my wife's life. War parents who lovingly care. Unwar parents who don't appreciate their own flesh and blood. That's got to be something. Like, hey, man, your wife? Your wife's a great disappointment. What, you mean your daughter? Yeah, that's what I mean. Eat crap and die, old man. Rome, I have beef with the D-bag drivers on any road or street with their stupid dog on their lap. You're operating a 2,000-pound projectile. Your dog has its stupid head out the driver window, constantly losing its balance on your lap while you negotiate left and right-hand turns. Put that damn mutt in the back seat and drive your whip. Knock it off already. Shane in SLO. Hi, Jim.
Knock it off!
My beef is with local guitarists on Facebook who posted videos of themselves playing Van Halen songs. Nobody asked for that. Nobody wanted that. Hey, idiots! There's a reason he is Eddie Van Halen and you're not. Sarah T. Oh, now you got his back. Sarah. Jim, my beef is with the office hypochondriac. You're not sick, lady, but you are super annoying. Just shut up already. I'm trying to listen to Rome. Brent in PC. Man, they just keep coming. Hi, James. I got beef with my smoke alarm. It needs a new battery, but I can't get the cover open. Guess I'll just throw it away. What a waste. Andy in Rockland. Rome, my beef is with your beef. My husband listens to you every day. We are on vacation right now, and he's listening. Fine. But my beef is you requesting people to text, email, or call in. He's constantly nagging me with, what do you think about this joke? Do you think this will get read? Signed, Natalie Elliott. Hey, Nat. Hey, Nat. I don't know about him, but you got read before him. That's probably not going to go over well. Hey, Natalie. Turn to him. Turn to your husband right now and go, yo, you old man, scoreboard. Look up at it. Me one, you nothing. Hey, Rome. Yes, I have a beef. It's with my son. He called me last night and said, I'll pick you up at noon tomorrow and we'll play golf. But here I sit, ready to hit the links, and instead I'm watching your show and probably will be here for the beef segment. Aaron in Iowa. So, Aaron, are you? Did he pick you up yet? All right, so that is the social media version thereof. Let's go to the phones. 1-800-636-8686. Hawk is trying to absolve himself of all responsibility by saying that the old man screened out these calls.
It's lit.
Let's find out. The old man wants me to go to Clearwater. Jared in Clearwater. Jared, what's your beef?
Hey, John, man. I was my beef is with my 7-year-old son. I took him for a surprise to go play some Grand Theft Auto. And we get home, and he tells my wife that he shot a hoe and punched her in the boob. And since then, I've been sleeping on the couch. So my beef is with him.
I got Later. You. I see you working, Jared. It's a pretty violent game. All right. And since then, you've been sleeping on the couch. Hope that was worth it, Jared. And I'm sure it's not. I know it's not. Man, video games. I told you the story about the video game, right? Logan had his PS4 upstairs, right outside the master bedroom, in the rec room. I got sick of walking upstairs every single day and seeing him on that thing. I moved him outside into the casita. He's not getting his assignments done. He's not turning them in a timely manner. And now he's locked out of the freaking casita. That's how that goes. Back to the phones. We're rolling phone calls. Checking for beef. Kyle in Houston. Kyle, what's your beef?
Beef with podcasters and radio hosts who say, for people who may not be familiar with your work, tell us about yourself when they have a guest on. They're your freaking guest. Do your research. Even that failure, Matt in L.A., does more research when he calls in with his deficient calls to the jungle. It's embarrassing. Were the Astros living rent-free in Dodger fans' heads while making their stadium their second home? Unwore grown men named Benny.
All right, Kyle, thank you very much. I got a feeling that that beef was not really a beef, but just a reason to get to the war, an excuse to get to the war, a setup for the war. I mean, dude, you're not really beefing with podcasters. Matt has come up a couple of times. I want to give him a chance to respond. Yo, Matt, in L.A., what's your beef?
Kyle, Johnny Whiteface, shut up. My beef is with your so-called GOAT, Van Smack, stay-at-home Brad. Tell that kook in Corona I'm going to start charging him admission if he keeps trying to ride my coattail. Yo, Jimmy, this B.I. Sleaze being 6'12 and me being 5'0" gets especially awkward when dude continuously is riding my jock. Outro.
My man nailed that post too, didn't he? Matt in L.A. beefing with my quote alleged goat. When we come back, another one of the all-timers gets some run. Stay tuned.